It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Let's talk to the pros. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. Find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is Friday. It is time for Dan and Kyle in the Morning, where we break down every single game from this coming weekend. But before we do, it's time for the best 10 minutes of my week, where I get to talk to Dr. David Chow about all our injury concerns. He's over at ProFootballDoc.com. Find him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. Doc, thank you for joining me today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. And I guess I should improve the lighting, but I'm between cases and surgery and or put makeup on the shiny forehead, right? Or whatever it is. It is what it is, right?
I think you're fine, Doc. The fact that you can fit us in at all in between, everything you do is great. All right, let's talk about somebody who played yesterday on Thursday Night Football, and that was Saquon Barkley. He didn't have a huge game. He had the one big run, but other than that, was pretty much bottled up. But he played a ton of snaps, 84%. So he's got 10 days now here before his next matchup, which is a good matchup against the Falcons. So we thought it would be a slow start for him. How effective do you think he's going to be now with a lengthier layoff in week 3?
Well, look, I always like to take and admit when I'm wrong and take your lumps. I was kind of telling people, hey, I didn't think he'd get to 46.5 yards, which seemed to be an over-under on his total, especially 10 carries, 26 yards week one, and now a very short week where his knee's going to be a little sore. He obviously outperformed. He had more plays. He was out there on the field more. And you're right. Absent the 141-yard run, it would have been something like 10 or carries right. For 12 yards or whatever, something like that. But he did get the 41-yard run, so kudos. So I was, quote, wrong there. Look, he's going to be trending up. But like any stock, or be it Apple or Qualcomm or Amazon that's heading up, it doesn't head up linearly. It goes up, down, up, down, up, down, and trends in the right direction. So that's what you're going to see. So it's not necessarily going to be magical. Week 3, he's got 10 days of rest. He's going to explode, and don't worry about him. Look, he might have a very good week 3 and then a down week 4. But look, when you look back at the trend, I think you'll see this by mid-season, and that's where we expect to see him.
Excellent. How about Odell Beckham Jr. here? This is a little surprising to me, frankly, because he had the offseason surgery, of course, or during last season. surgery to repair a torn ACL. I thought early in the week, sounded like he was going to go last week. Then there was optimism. Then he warmed up and wasn't ready to go. And he was ruled out very early this week for their game against the Texans. So first of all, is this a setback? And second of all, regardless, should fantasy managers now have long-term concerns this season about Odell Beckham Jr.'s health?
Well, I'll answer all those questions, but let me, I don't think this, I'll let you in on a little secret here, Dan. Okay. I wrote and posted and with my podcast on Monday saying that I have even more respect for Odell Beckham because you know there's no way he was 100%. And you know if it was really up to him selfishly, he would be out there. What athlete really would want to be out there? But I thought he was showing a lot of maturity in the bigger guy saying, I'm not 100%. And 80 or 85% of me potentially hurts the team in the 46-man roster. I can't do special teams. It takes up a spot. I can't do the full route tree. And so I surmise that I have even more respect that he said, look, I can't do it or shouldn't do it. And Odell's great. I mean, I met him one time years ago at the Super Bowl. He wouldn't remember. But over the summer when I tweeted on him, he DM'd me. He DM'd me this time too. And he said, you know, LOL, there's people who understand and there's people who really get it. You get it, my friend. And so he sort of confirmed that privately. He shared some other things. I'm not going to get into whether he's going to play or not. He says it's basically the hardest thing he's ever done to say, look, I can't or shouldn't be out there, right? So sure. I have respect for someone who says that and knows what's right for the team. So, kudos to him. Same thing. It's going to be better and better for him. Will he play this week? He didn't tell me for sure. And if he does, I don't see him as 100%. But I did say to him, look, why don't you come on the Pro Football Dog podcast in this off season after you kill it in the second half of the year? And he was thumbs up. So similar. That's kind of where I'm at on him.
All right. So week three, again, they play Chicago. So we'll see where he's at when we get there. Joe Burrow, let's talk about him. Doc, you said he'd be ready for week one. He was ready for week one. He looked better than I thought. Frankly, I was a little hesitant on him. He took a lot of shots. He was sacked five times. He hung in there. He did stay down at one point. I got a little nervous for that briefly. And then after the game, and this week he has talked about how his knee is sore, which I'm hoping is just normal. But were you encouraged, discouraged by what you saw from Burrow from an injury perspective? Or is this basically just what you expected, especially with this post-game soreness?
I'm very encouraged from a mental aspect on Joe Burrow. Part of the injury and recovery is physical. I do expect soreness. We know he's not 100%. As much as I was saying he was going to be ready week one, partly because of the position he plays. I mean, if he were a cornerback, he would not be playing, right? If he were a wide receiver, he might not be playing, right? Probably wouldn't be playing. Because he's a quarterback, he's playing. But physically, we know he's going to be sore, not 100%. But he impressed me with the mental side. Here's a young guy who hasn't played a lot in the league. You have to be skittish stepping into throws, right, with all the stuff around you. Yet he seemed fearless. He took his hits. And in my experience, someone coming off an ACL tear, until you have that oh my gosh moment where you take a hit. And yes, he's got a prophylactic brace on to help protect him. But you take a hit and you say, uh-oh, I might have done it again. And then you pick yourself up and dust yourself off and say, I'm okay. That's always in the back of your mind. And maybe he's getting through that. Once again, he's going to be better and better as we go along. But mentally, he showed me some toughness and promise for a young guy. And yeah, this is why he's heralded as the real deal.
Yeah, the mental toughness part of it, not toughness, but just the mental aspect to be able to, you know, keep going at the recovery, especially in the beginning of the season, was the hardest part, it seemed like, for him at this point, because physically he looked okay. Let us finish up here, Doc, with a couple of Cowboys here that had some offseason injury concerns. Both had huge week ones here against the Bucs. It was Amari Cooper, who dealt with foot, ankle sort of thing. And then you had Dak Prescott, who not only was recovering from his horrific injury at the end, but obviously had a shoulder injury that he had in camp. And I threw a ton in that first game against the Bucs. So just your general thoughts on what we saw from them last week and what we can expect going forward.
Look, when I was growing up, the Dallas Cowboys, I grew up in LA for whatever reason, were one of my favorite teams, the White Hats. And I also liked the Raiders, believe it or not, even though I was a Chargers guy, because you like character, the White Hats and the Black Hats, right?
Sure.
Right, kind of thing. Yeah. But I think Cowboy fans are starting to maybe not like me so much. I mean, they've been all over me over the years for Jalen Smith, where I'm saying, look, I don't think he's going to be the guy, and look where he's at now and the whole deal. But that's off topic. I was a little negative on Amari Cooper, and past week one, he's making me eat my words, right? I mean, here was a 6-week recovery surgery, but at 6 months, he's still sore. I said, this could be trouble. So far, no. But, you know, so I'll eat my words there. Dak Prescott, I'll stick with. He had a fantastic performance. 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. But to get there, it was 58 passes, right? So per pass, not super great. And I think he had a great performance. But I don't think he's 100% yet. I don't think he looked as mobile. And if you looked at his passing charts, he certainly missed some passes downfield, which, look, if he hits some of those, it's going to be unbelievable. And yeah, we're all prisoners of the moment. And I'm saying he's doing really well. And for Cowboy fans, he could do even better, right? Look, they fought him to the end. But in the end, the Cowboys were +3 on turnovers. I don't care if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. You're supposed to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if you're +3 on turnovers, right? The numbers are, it's 90%+ win if you're +3 on turnovers, yet they got nicked out at the wire, Tampa. So look for better things for Dak to come. I still don't think he's 100%, and I say that from the good news side, that he's got a higher ceiling still.
Great insight as always, Doc. Very quickly remind everybody where they can check out more of your work.
Well, a 6 score is coming out every week on individual fantasy players in terms of where their health is. So what you can expect out of 100, are they full go or in the 90s or not so good? Maybe help you out a little bit, more of a decoy, as well as for teams and stuff, profootballdoc.com or at the Twitter handle, profootballdoc.
Outstanding. Well, I look forward to talking to you again next Friday, as we always do. In the meantime, we will go now to Kyle Yates and start off with Dan and Kyle in the morning. All right, guys, it is time for Dan and Kyle in the morning. What's up, Yates? How you doing?
I am doing great, man. Surprisingly good football game last night. I did not expect that good of a football game from two NFC East teams, but we had it, and I get to talk to you. So, yeah, I'm in a good mood.
I think we got to go beyond good. Like, that was a great game. I think when Heinicke threw the pick at the end to Bradberry, like, my mouth dropped just because it was like, they're just salting the game away. It's over. Just phenomenal game, back and forth. There's a lot to actually break down with it. So let's do that. Of course, we are going to get into every game here, break it down, our starts, our sits, all the good stuff. But before we do, let me remind you about our September giveaway. It is a signed Kyler Murray football. You guys know what to do by now to be entered into the contest. Just go to leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, and then go to fantasypros.com/contest. A subscription to our YouTube channel is 3 times the entry, so there's really no reason to not do that. And also, you should be subscribing to our YouTube channel anyway. Yates does a great start sit from 12 to 1 right before kickoff on Sunday mornings. Joe, I believe this week in the future, it's going to be Pat Fitzmaurice, the newest member of our team, is going to be doing it from 11 to 12. We got a lot of videos. We video all our podcasts. It's great. Again, youtube.com/fantasypros. And again, it gets you 3 times the entry into our contest. Also, you should be subscribing and listening to The Kickoff, which is my solo podcast. Just me basically rambling all for 15 minutes every weekday. It's fantastic because you get all my, you know, nonsense thoughts. But Mondays are my 5 takeaways from the previous Sunday. Tuesdays, we're going to talk about waiver wire, everything like that. And I talked about some of my favorite start sits on the one that dropped this morning on Friday. So if you care about what I think, and judging by my Twitter mentions, you do not, you can go ahead and check out Kickoff. Like last year, like we did last week, let's start with the over-under challenge here. Yates, this is fantasypros.com/challenge, completely free to play. It is 10 fantasy point over-unders. There are weekly prizes. It's a season-long prize. It is sponsored by Caesars. Again, fantasypros.com/challenge. Are you ready, Kyle Yates?
Let's go.
Josh Allen at Miami, 23.6 fantasy points. I believe it's 4 point per passing touchdown, by the way. 23.6.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go with the over here. I think that we see a bounce-back performance from the Buffalo Bills offense.
I've got slightly over. I'm not super optimistic about it, but I do have it as over. How about Jameis Winston at Carolina, 18 fantasy points even?
Who knows? I will go with I'll go with the over here though. I'm gonna buy into what we saw last week. I got him actually at 18.1, so super close there. But I will take the over.
Who knows? I mean, you can't get fantasy analysis like that anywhere else, folks. I will also go over Ezekiel Elliott at the Chargers, 14.5 fantasy points.
I'm going to go over here. I'm buying back into they're going to lean into Ezekiel Elliott this week, start to feature him again. So I will go with the over here.
I'm going to go slightly under. I mean, I think he needs the touchdown to get over this. And I'm just, as we'll talk later with somebody, I kind of get a little nervous when I'm so reliant on a touchdown. How about Dave Montgomery against Cincinnati, 14 fantasy points?
A high line for David Montgomery, especially when he is not super, super involved in the receiving game. But I will, you know what? I'm going to go under here. I do think that it's kind of the same thing with Ezekiel Elliott. He's got to find the end zone.
That's the thing. I don't want to do it here, so I will also go under. Elijah Mitchell, my guy at Philadelphia, 10.8 fantasy points.
I could easily see a path for where he hits the over on this one, or easily see a path where he doesn't even reach 5 fantasy points. So I will take the under here. I'm just going to play it safe.
I do like him more than our consensus right now this week, but I will take the under on this. CeeDee Lamb at the Chargers, 13.5 fantasy points.
No Michael Gallup in the picture, so I'm going to take the over here. I think the target volume is going to be there.
Okay, I will as well. Julio Jones at Seattle. I mean, real bad first game. How about 11.4 fantasy points?
This Titans offense needs to figure out what happened here in week one. It did not look in sync. 11.4 for Julio Jones seems ridiculous, but you know what? Until I see it happen, I'm going to take the under.
I'm going over. I think this is the bounce back game. I trust Mike Vrabel to get their stuff together because that was ugly. Tim Patrick, my guy at Jacksonville, 8.7 fantasy points.
Yeah, I like the over here.
Yeah, I do as well. I'm not rushing out to start him, but I think that's too low a line. Antonio Brown against Atlanta, 11.8.
I mean, I might even consider going over here if this line was at like 15.5. Yeah. You know, I just think that this is a smash spot for AB.
I could not agree more. And finally, George Kittle at Philadelphia, 12.3 fantasy points.
Man, this is a good line. I'm going to go slightly under here.
I wish I could push, but that would be insane. Right? So I will go under as well. Again, you can find all of this over at fantasypros.com/challenge. Completely free to play. So go ahead and check it out. Again, this is Friday morning. You guys know the drill by now. We don't have the practice reports. Something may break as we are recording this, in which case you will see me and Yates freak out. But let's start as we always do with that great Thursday night football game. Washington football team 30, Giants 29. Taylor Heinicke, just like we all expected, 34 for 46, 336 yards, 2 touchdowns with a pick. Now, a lot of that goes to Terry McLaurin, who I think you and I both were just like, that's just a dude, man. Before he even, you know, went nuts, 14 targets, 11 catches, 107 yards, and the touchdowns. We had questions, or at least I did. Would Heinicke lock into him, you know, in the same way that Fitzpatrick would? In this game, would James Bradbury lock him up? All our questions seem to be answered. Do you have any questions about him going forward now with Heinicke as the starter?
Absolutely not. Terry McLaurin, I had as a mid-range to low-end wide receiver 2 this week in my rankings. So I was like, we just don't know what we're going to get. It is a tougher matchup, like you mentioned. So we just didn't know what we were going to get here, but you still needed to be starting Terry McLaurin, and it paid off. I mean, 14 targets is just absolutely ridiculous. So moving forward, I don't know if Washington's going to throw the ball 46 times every single game, but I mean, moving forward, he's got the target share. He's got the target volume here. So it belongs in your starting lineup every single week.
Yeah, I had him at 16 for the week. I had moved him down in my rest of season rankings just because, again, without Fitzpatrick, I assumed just that the volume wouldn't be there. I will probably move him back up to closer to where he was, which was like, you know, low end wide receiver 1 range, because it all looked good. It didn't look quite... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yes.
No, I was just going to interject. It's crazy what McLaurin has done throughout his NFL career. I think I saw a stat that 10 different starting quarterbacks throughout his time in the NFL. He's played 31 career games. So he's had 10 different starting quarterbacks, and he's putting up the type of numbers that he has. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now, after a huge workload last week, Antonio Gibson, respectable, 15 touches, 73 yards. But that touchdown goes to J.D. McKissick, who also totals 5 catches, 83 yards through the air. I mean, that's disappointing. When it happened, obviously it was in a 2-minute drill, so you know, whatever, at the very end, I believe, of the half. But what can you do here, right? No concerns about Gibson?
No, I mean, you would have loved to see that touchdown go his way. But I mean, throughout, 23 touches last week, 15 here. So we're seeing a heavy workload for Antonio Gibson. Just the matter of the touchdowns will come. So I'm not super concerned with him. Again, you would love to see the touchdown go to him. The usage for J.D. McKissick is really interesting because he had 2 targets last week and didn't catch any of them. That was it. So like, and Jarrett Patterson was also involved last week somewhat. So it's like, and then JD McKissic here comes out with four attempts on the ground, six targets, and then got the touchdown and looked great. So it's like, okay, was that a product of Antonio Gibson missing some time in practice this week on a short week, you know, but he was a full participant? I don't really know. But moving forward, I really don't have many concerns with Antonio Gibson. We might not see him log 20 total touches per week moving forward, but in positive game strips, I think that we could get there.
Yeah, I mean, I was encouraged, frankly, not that anybody's worried about Antonio Gibson, especially after week one, but considering A, that he had the shoulder thing, B, that it was a short week, and C, that he was coming off a game with massive touches where he's just not used to that in his career. The fact that he still got, you know, 15 touches in this game was encouraging to me. I mean, it stinks about McKissic, who again did get more involved. A lot of that was in the, you know, in the 2-minute drill, right, and stuff like that. So, and that he caught that long catch, whatever it was, for like 54 yards or whatever that was, it kind of propped up his numbers. But yeah, I was encouraged here by Gibson, despite the fact that he wound up not getting the touchdown. My guy, Logan Thomas, 7 targets, 5 catches, 45 yards. Pedestrian game that will probably wind up leaving him as the tight end 6 or whatever. Right. wasn't perfect here for the Giants, but Daniel Jones looked, I mean, pretty good overall.
He 249 looks good.
Yards, yeah. Right? And I mean, I'm very impressed. And a touchdown through the air, 9 for 95, and a score on the ground. He also had another one that was negated by a penalty. You are not, this sounds dumb, but you're not considering starting Daniel Jones going forward, right?
No, I'm not. I mean, maybe okay, as a low end QB2 in super flex leagues, but he did look good. He looked sharp in this one. They made it an effort to get him involved in the ground on the ground game. But moving forward, yeah, I don't think that you can trust him just yet.
I think more of a viable QB2, which I didn't even think really he was, frankly.
Right, you know, I had him as a QB3 this exactly. week against Washington. Yeah.
Oh, God, I was all the way off him in this game. My bad for those of you who were like, I need to start 7 QBs, and I was like, not Daniel Jones. All right, let's talk about Saquon for a second, though. 13 for 57 on the ground, 3 targets, 2 catches through the air. He played 84% of the snaps here, Yates. So takeaways from Saquon after this game.
Yeah, the snap count's encouraging, for sure. I think the concern here is he had a long run, which he looked great on, right? It looked yep. like vintage Saquon Barkley, a long of 41 yards. But if you take away that run, he was 12 for, what, 16? So not fantastic. Again, the matchup wasn't great. So I'm not super, super concerned, but we're not at the point yet with Saquon where we can completely buy into what we saw in previous years. And I mean, the concern here is 3 targets. If he did play that many snaps and he's only seeing 3 targets, that's a huge concern, because part of the reason why you bought Saquon Barkley as a first or second round pick was not only his work on the ground and the talent that he has, but also his involvement as a receiver. If that's not happening, if we don't see that start to tick up, Saquon's probably not going to push above a top 15 running back ranking just based on the offense that he's in and the fact that he's not seeing receiving work.
Yeah, it's a little weird here. I mean, the receivers, you know, the big three with Slayton and Galladay and Shepard, I think they saw 24 targets overall. I mean, there's not that much room. Now, he did run a lot of routes like throughout the game, which is encouraging. But yeah, the lack of targets. But I don't know. For me, Yates, if I am somebody who needs a running back, I think I am going out there and I'm really trying to acquire him before sure. next week against Atlanta. Like, that, people are down on him still. People are concerned. He's got 10 days now. Remember, that was a short, yep. you know, short rest. 10 days now against Atlanta. Go out, make your buy low offers now, I think. Because I am more encouraged, actually, because I'd faded him in the beginning of the season. I was not excited about what we were going to see from him in the beginning of the season. I think I ranked him 22nd. It was like one of these, you know, I don't know how low I'm gonna put him, you know, in a week
right,
where
right.
you just need somebody who's going to be the starting running back. But I do think going forward, we're going to see a lot more of Saquon, and I am optimistic. Meanwhile, I tip my hat to you, Sarah, about Sterling Shepard, who I poo-pooed a little bit on the waiver wire show. You were all over 10 targets, 9 catches, 94 yards. Darius Slayton does get the touchdown, 6 targets, 3 catches, 54 yards. Should have had 2. It was a drop. A professional wide receiver should catch it. It was a little tougher than I think people were making out, but it's fine. You're right. He should have had 2. Kenny Galladay does get the 8 targets, really good. Only 3 catches for 38 yards and a lot of yelling on the sideline. So, I mean, it might be Shepard here, Yates, who, again, after this game, I don't know. I think I'm fully buying in at this point. Are you?
Yeah, unless we're seeing Kadarius Toney, like, that was my concern with Sterling Shepard, was there was a role for him in this offense, but with the drafting of Kadarius Toney in the first round, it was like, okay, well, he's probably going to take that slot role from Sterling Shepard, and Shepard does have a lengthy injury history, particularly with concussions, so that's always kind of hanging over our heads, but if Kadarius Toney is not going to step up into a major role in this offense, which he's not at this point, it's going to take him a little bit, then Sterling Shepard absolutely belongs in our starting lineups, particularly in full PPR formats, as a low-end wide receiver three that maybe pushes a high-end wide receiver three in those full PPR formats.
Yeah, I agree. And I was off Shepard, and I feel like this year more than other years, Yates, I'm willing to make quicker adjustments because I do feel like I hold on to my preseason evaluations like very tightly. But I mean, from what you saw in that game, Shepard looks good. He's always really gotten the targets. There's no reason to fade him. So I agree. Are you concerned here about Kenny Golladay? Again, healthy, yay, very good. Targets, 8, you'll take that, but obviously very little production.
Yeah, I mean, when he was signed in the offseason, it was like, okay, well, he could command, you know, the 8 targets per game in this offense, but based on his usage and based on his, like, his track record, right, he's always been around that, like, 55 to 60% catch rate. It's just the role that he plays in the offense. He can make some spectacular grabs, but you weren't going to be able to get more than, like, 5-6. You know, he's not out here posting Sterling Shepard-type efficiency and catch rate or anything like that, just based on the role that he's playing in the offense, deeper targets down the field. So you're going to have to live with lower catch rate, high yards per reception. And that is just, it's really volatile. And then you're going to have to live with the fact that he might not score a touchdown any given week because it's Daniel Jones throwing him the ball in this offense. So Kenny Golladay now is a low end wide receiver 3 flex play for me moving forward. The targets are encouraging for sure, but it's just not the type of, like, the usage that he has in this not great offense is concerning moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I still think I'm buying. I think they missed a lot of time, so they're not in sync yet. Again, they get Atlanta, then New Orleans, who's a tough defense, but they've got a lot of, you know, injuries going on their defense. Then Dallas, like, I think you could see Golladay definitely.
Yeah, Atlanta but I agree. Dallas. Yeah, Atlanta, yes. And Dallas for sure. You start.
Exactly. And so the time to do it is now. Yeah, it's because I think the people who are rostering Golladay are really just, you know, annoyed at it. So this is where I do it. It takes a leap of faith, but that's what you have to do to win your fantasy leagues. By the way, everybody who plays with kickers, don't worry about it. Graham Gano, 5
I was going to ask you, how far did Graham Gano vault up your kicker rankings?
He does, and I had ranked him low, and it really hurt my heart. I mean, the weather wasn't great. Like, Gano's accurate, but I didn't expect a huge, you know, a lot of scoring. So my bad on that one this week. 5 for 5, 55 yarder. Hasn't missed him like 18 years. You might as well add him there for one of your kickers. All right, before we get into the games for this weekend and we're going to fly, let us briefly talk about Prize Picks. We just took our over-under challenge here right at the start of the show. That is very fun. We do it every week here. You can win some prizes, but you know where else you can do that is at Prize Picks. You're listening to this podcast, which means you play fantasy football and you are wise beyond your years. So turn all of that into some cash over at Prize Picks. Here's what you do. You pick 2 to 5 players. Okay. You decide if they're going to go over or under their stat projections. And there are stats to choose from. You can go receptions, you can go yards, you can go touchdowns, you can go fantasy points if you want, like Yates and I just did there with the accuracy, with the over under challenge. The more players you pick, the more money you can win. You can win up to 10 times the amount of money that you do. And you can do multiple sports, right? It's not just football. You can do football, basketball, MMA. They've got pretty much everything that you want. Make your entries in less than a minute. Look, it's not just us. It's 4.8 rating in the App Store. So people love it for good reason. Take your game to a new level with Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON, by the way, to receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% deposit match for up to $100. All right, Yates, let's get into it. Raiders visiting the Steelers off a short week. Let's talk about the Steelers here. I mean, I assume, you know, Najee Harris, not a great debut against the Bills, but starting him as an RB1 in this one, correct?
Yeah, the matchup dictates that you do. You know, he was constantly met behind the line of scrimmage last week. The offensive line is a concern. I mean, 35 of Harris's 45 rushing yards came after first contact. So he was consistently being met behind the line of scrimmage. And again, that's concerning. But with the Raiders defensive front, they're going to lean on Najee Harris again in this one. So I'm not ranking him as high as I did last week. I bought in a little bit too far last week, being a little bit more conservative this week. So he's on that low end RB1, high end RB2 territory for me.
Yeah, right now I've got him 9, but I don't think you're choosing between Najee Harris and, you know, Ezekiel Elliott or Chris Carson right now. Right. So you're starting him. But I agree. I'm like, I want to see it, but I do expect him to have a decent game in this one. How about the wide receivers here? I mean, none of them really had a particularly good game. The offense looked a little out of sync against Buffalo. I guess, how do you feel about all 3 of the wide receivers here?
Sure. So Deontay Johnson is encouraging because, you know, he saw a 31% target share last week. Yep. So moving forward, even though it wasn't super productive for Deontay Johnson, it didn't lead to a ton of fantasy points outside of the touchdown, I think that we can move forward with Deontay Johnson as a low-end wide receiver too. Chase Claypool had a phenomenal catch. There's the garage door.
There it is.
He had a phenomenal catch over Tre'Davious White last week, but you know that was a really tough matchup here. He's not going to have that difficult of a matchup in this week. So I'm starting Claypool as a wide receiver three this week. I think he belongs in your starting lineup. He has boom potential here. I've got him at 27 on the week. I've got Deontay Johnson at 20. And then Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, a low ADOT again last week. It's not something where I think that, you know, it was a 6.6 yard ADOT. So that's just not he doesn't have the efficiency after the catch to be able to turn that low ADOT, that low average depth of target, into phenomenal fantasy production. He doesn't have the athleticism after the catch. So you're really living and dying by him finding the end zone. And being, you know, maybe a full PPR format. I think we got to view him in the same vein as like a Tyler Boyd and those kind of guys, maybe even a Cole Beasley. Like that kind of vein is how we need to be viewing Juju Smith-Schuster moving forward. And I've got him at 45 on the week.
Okay, so you're really fading him. That's fine. I think this is a little bounce back here for it. I have Juju at 36 right now, so I'm a little more bullish just because I do think this is a little bit of a bounce back spot here for the Steelers. I think they're going to want to show off what they could do. And again, the Raiders coming across the country on a short week after that giant win, I could see a huge letdown for every part of their team, except, of course, by the way, I will say, how about Ben as a potential, like in a deeper league as a streamer? Are you at all considering that?
Yeah, as a streaming quarterback, I think it's a leap of faith and it's really you're looking at him because you have no better options, but I think right. That you can get away with him.
Yeah, I have him at 14th actually right now in my early rank, so I can get there if I need to. Hopefully you don't have to, because again, you know, we certainly had 12 starting caliber quarterbacks, but certainly is a strong QB2 and a borderline QB1 if you absolutely have to. For the Raiders, you're obviously starting Darren Waller, who may break the target record for just fun to watch, actually, just as a fan. Forget about a fantasy analyst. I just like sitting back. Jacobs is banged up here. We don't know if he's going to practice here or what his designation is going to be, but he's obviously missed practice. He had the toe/ankle thing. So if he starts, do you like him? And if not, do you like Drake?
I really don't want to start either one of these guys if they are the starting running back, you know. So if Josh Jacobs does play, I mean, he's going to be banged up. He's not going to be 100%. It's a tough matchup here against the Pittsburgh Steelers run defense. He had 10 carries last week, scored 2 touchdowns on those carries. So that's an insane touchdown rate. I'm not buying into that happening again here. So Josh Jacobs falls outside my top 24 running backs. If we do have him sit and Kenyon Drake is the starter, I don't think Kenyon Drake is going to be much better on the ground than Jacobs would be. So I think he's going to end up in kind of the same territory. So I would look to avoid both these backs if you can.
Yeah, Devin Singletary wound up with an okay game last week, you know, when he was the only guy. But I agree. I have Jacobs, assuming that he's going to play and be ready to go, at 29. So I'm trying to avoid him as well. Anybody else in the Raiders here? Are you starting any wide receiver?
No, I'm encouraged from what I saw with Bryan Edwards. You know, he had the potential to have a lot bigger game, right? There was the touchdown that was called back. So I think the potential to have a much bigger performance, I think this was a great game for him based on what we wanted to see. But moving forward, he's got to be a matchup play, you know, as a flex option in this matchup. I'm not looking to start him.
Yeah. And Derek Carr, I assume, like me, Yates, like, very impressed. Great first game. No interest in starting him whatsoever. Even as a QB2, as a low end QB2, maybe in this matchup. But
you got to view him as a low end QB2. I mean, it was encouraging. I mean, consistently pushing the ball downfield, having had an average depth of target of 10.1, which was tied for the fifth most at the quarterback position with a minimum of 20 pass attempts last week. So it's there. Like, we're seeing Derek Carr start to open up and become more comfortable in this offense. But not in this matchup.
49ers visiting the Eagles. Everybody wants to know, Yates, what are you doing with Elijah Mitchell?
Oh, man. So Elijah Mitchell, I have currently at RB. I had him at 27 earlier this week. I'm checking. Yes, he's still at RB 27. Okay. So I think that we're going to see Trey Sermon. I think we're going to see him involved in this matchup. I don't have Sermon as someone that I am comfortably starting. I have him at RB 40 on the week currently.
Yeah.
But I do think that he's going to step in. Elijah Mitchell, the fact that he saw 19 carries, I think last week was more of a product of that they didn't have anyone else that they wanted to give the ball to. And it was working with going up against the Lions defense. I don't think it's going to work as well here for Elijah Mitchell in week 2 up against Philadelphia. So Elijah Mitchell, 27, Trey Sermon, 40 for me. I think that I would be looking to sit both these guys if we can, but based on the fab that you guys spent on Elijah Mitchell, I think he's going to be in your starting lineups this week.
I like that I was the aggressive one of our internal analysts at 30%, and I don't think I saw him go for less than like 55% in a single league. Kudos to you guys for quasi-listening to me, but I am also starting him in this matchup, Yates. I am willing to bite the bullet and go for it, and I'm not starting Trey Sermon right now. And this is something where, like, my ranking of Trey Sermon is completely irrelevant. I have him basically off the board. I need to basically dig into this, see where we are on Saturday night. I will redo everything. I will read everything. I will text the few people I know who might have any sort of information on what's going to happen, which is worth nothing with the 49ers, as you know. Right. But I have Mitchell right now at 19. Now, my guess is he's going to wind up at, like, 21. Again, this is something where I'm going to probably pull him back just a little bit. But I am going for him because I don't see how you deactivate Trey Sermon in week one, come to week two and say, you know what? You're carrying the rock, man.
Sure.
Good luck,
sure.
Right? I think that Mitchell is going to be good for 15 carries. It's not a great matchup, obviously, against the Eagles necessarily. It's not like it was against the Lions. But I think in that scheme, Yates, you can be the running back and you can have a productive day there. So I'm going with Mitchell in this one. I'm probably going to recommend starting him. Again, a low-end RB2 at this point. If he's 19, he'll probably be 20, 21, somewhere around there. But I'm willing to do it, Yates. I realize that, you know, it could go terribly wrong, but I am willing to go, and I'm staying far away from Sermon until I see something. How about the receivers here? Are you fully trusting Debo, and are you completely off on Brandon Ayuk for this week at least?
Yeah, for this week. Brandon Ayuk is a flex play at best. Based on where you drafted him, you might not have better options to be able to plug in above him. So I think you can view him as a flex option, but he is a sit for me if you can. For Debo Samuel, I'm all in. I've got him at 19 on the week. He's got a tougher matchup this week than he did last week. So I'm not going crazy here with expectations for the San Francisco 49ers offense. But Debo Samuel, based on everything that we saw against the Lions, he belongs in your starting lineup.
Yep, 22 for me. Brandon Ayuk's like off the board. He's in the 50s just because I'm making it so that if somebody on my Instagram Live at 10 o'clock on the morning on Sunday asked me starters hit somebody versus Brandon Ayuk, I could just go with the other person because I really don't want to take that chance right now, given everything that's coming out. I do think long term buying low on Brandon Ayuk is a smart idea because I think eventually they're going to need him. He will factor in. But for this week, I'm staying away. And you were starting George Kittle, of course. For the Eagles, you still fading Jalen Hurts, you jerk? Or are you willing to buy in at this point?
Yeah, okay. The week one victory lap over in playing the Atlanta Falcons.
I have to say, I have so few victory laps. Games, I have to take it.
I've got him at QB9. So he belongs as a starter this week, but not someone that I'm looking as a top five option like I did last week.
Yeah, completely agree. I'm at 10, by the way. Just to make
it clear. Man, I'm the high one on Jalen Hurts.
You are always, now and forever. Devontae Smith, has he shown enough to be locked in your lineup?
Yes, of course. Devontae Smith, fantastic in week one. Again, you and I both played this game of like, okay, we want to see what happens here with Devontae Smith before confidently plugging him into our lineups. Now, we had him as a start. Like, we had him as someone that you could start if needed, but I've got him at 34 on the week. So again, still kind of just tempering expectations. He's not playing the Atlanta Falcons secondary this week. He's going up against San Francisco, which is a tougher defense. So I've got him at 34. I think that you can start him as a low end wide receiver 3.
Completely agree. I've got him at 35. Miles Sanders in the circle of trust at this point?
Relative circle of trust. I've got him at RB 20 on the week. So he is someone that you, or 21, excuse me. So he is someone that you can get away with starting, but I'm not going crazy with expectations here.
20th for me as well. How about Dallas Goedert?
Yeah, he belongs in your starting lineup again as a low end tight end 1. I don't think that we're going to see a touchdown again in this one. If he does, that's going to be impressive. But just with Jalen Hurts, I'm expecting Hurts to take a step back. So if that is the case, then you got to downgrade the receiving options here. Dallas Goedert though showed enough last week that he can be viewed as a low end tight end 1.
Yeah, I agree. And Zacharias may miss this game, I guess. He's battling the hamstring. You know, he's been seen at practice. So if he does, that certainly helps. But either way, I also have him as a starting option. Are you starting anybody else? Jalen Reagor, anything like that?
No, I'm encouraged from what I saw with Reagor last week. But I'm not going. Again, Jalen Hurts had the lowest ADOT. Like, he had a lowest ADOT or lower ADOT than Andy Dalton last week. So that's concerning moving forward. Jalen Reagor can feast on those screen games, like on those screen plays. That's what his athleticism after the catch is really, really good. So he can thrive on that, but that's just a live and die situation. Like, I just don't know if I want to play that
Texans
game.
Texans visiting the Browns. Please tell me you are not starting Mark Ingram in this game.
No, I'm not starting Mark Ingram.
I just want to make sure. Okay. I have him at 39 at running back. You?
Oh, man. I've got him at 34.
You're the high guy on Mark Ingram. Yeah, look.
That feels good.
Maybe he'll get 26 carries again, but I think the odds are against it. How about Brandon Cooks? I mean, is he just in the circle of trust, relatively speaking?
Yeah, tougher secondary, obviously this week up against Cleveland, but I've still got him at 25. I think that's right around where I had him last week. I think that you can start Brandon Cooks. The target volume is going to be there.
Ball's got to go somewhere. And that is it for the Texans, correct?
Yes, completely.
Very good. Browns, Nick Chubb, a top five option this week?
Yep. This is the interesting thing with the Cleveland Browns offense is like, okay, we know that they're going to score minimum of four touchdowns. Like, it's just, it's going to happen. But where did the touchdowns go? Did they go to the running backs here like they did last week? Like, all four touchdowns for the Cleveland Browns went to in the run game, right? Jarvis Landry scored as a rusher. But Nick Chubb, I've got an RB4 on the week. So I think there is a chance where he scores multiple touchdowns in this one. There is also the potential that Baker Mayfield throws for four touchdowns and Nick Chubb doesn't find the end zone, right? So it's a really interesting situation here where Baker is kind of one of these guys, and I'm like, I'm intrigued to start Baker Mayfield as a streaming option this week if I need to, but there is the potential that he throws for zero touchdowns again because all the touchdowns go to the running backs.
All right, so if the touchdowns do go to the running backs, I realize it's because I was looking for the kickoff yesterday. I am fading, apparently, at least as of right now, Kareem Hunt as compared to consensus, because Kareem Hunt doesn't go over 65 yard total yards. Like, he just doesn't do that. Right. He needs a touchdown, really, to justify it. Now, you want to score a touchdown, this is where your running backs score touchdowns against Houston. So he, you know, he's got a good chance as any game. He scored one last week. Where do you have Kareem Hunt ranked?
I have Kareem Hunt at 25.
Okay, so you're with me then. That is fading. It's at last I saw it, expert consensus rankings, he was 20th. So that's where I am. No, I agree. Okay, so we're seeing this the same way, which is we know the yardage isn't going to be there.
Right.
He's got to score the touchdowns. We know Nick Chubb is scoring at least one touchdown. Like, I think we could safely assume that. But you're right. It's just as possible that, you know, Baker is the one who gets it. So when you're relying on touchdowns, we talked about it with the over-under, makes me a little nervous. And that's really what you need with Hunt, right?
Yeah. And I was talking about this in the Discord stages that I did yesterday over at fantasypros.com/chat, answering a bunch of listener questions. And someone asked about Kareem Hunt. I was like, okay, well, here's the thing. Kareem Hunt could finish as a top 10 back this week because he could score two touchdowns.
Exactly.
Or he could finish outside the top 40 running backs because the touchdowns go to the passing game. Like, it is a complete roll of the dice. I am more willing to play it safe with Kareem Hunt, rank him outside the top 24 running backs, fade him compared to consensus, apparently. So I'm more willing to play it safe there with Kareem Hunt. He is a flex play at best, where you can live with the potential range of outcomes.
Completely agree. How about Jarvis Landry now? Odell Beckham Jr. is out. So where does he wind up at your wide receiver rankings?
Yeah, Jarvis Landry belongs in starting lineups this week. I've got him at 28 on the week. I think with Anthony Schwartz, it's encouraging what we saw last week. He had a healthy hefty target share, I think 18% off the top of my head, which is impressive for a rookie wide receiver to come in. And granted, that was because Odell Beckham was out. This is a game where, like, if you are look in a super deep league, you're looking for that sneaky flex play, you can look at Anthony Schwartz, but he's outside my top 50 wide receivers on the week.
I agree with you both on Landry and Schwartz, but he is intriguing, and I do want to watch and see what we're going to get. Before we get to the next game, most of you out there know what it feels like, unlike our very own Kyle Yates, to win a fantasy football matchup, and that feeling is fantastic, right? I mean, Will won his matchup, this is not a joke, against his mother in our family league because Lamar Jackson fumbled in overtime, and his celebration, even though he didn't watch it live, was pretty phenomenal. It's almost the best feeling ever. It is rivaled, though, that feeling when you win a pristine auction bid. I'm not even joking. The last 5 minutes, if you're like me and you watch the countdown and you're just waiting, like, is somebody going to jump, right? You know what I'm talking about, Yates, right? You're like, is somebody going to pop in? Am I going to get this? You wait, and then it goes down. When you win that, it's like the Yates when the Bears drafted Justin Fields in the draft. Like,
oh, yeah.
Arms shoot up. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. I love it. It's all pristine auction, guys. We talk about it all the time. Yates and I have so much stuff from pristine auction. I'm staring at my son's, like, big, you know, matted thing of Patrick Mahomes right now because he loves him, which I got from pristine auction. Every type of sports memorabilia that you could want. Signed jerseys. Signed helmets, signed footballs, but baseball, basketball, hockey, really any type of thing that you can want. Thousands of auctions every single day. I'm pretending to host this podcast right now. I'm not really. I'm just surfing pristine auction right here. When you guys see me on YouTube looking over to my right, I'm not checking my rankings. I'm checking my pristine auction bids. There are 9,945 football auctions going on as we speak. It is free to register. It is free to bid. You only pay if you win something. There are so many auctions. You get amazing prices on everything. Just go to pristineauction.com. For details, go again, check it out, pristineauction.com. You want $5 in free credits, just use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up. You will get, they will know we sent you, and again, $5 in free credits. Again, that's pristineauction.com, pristineauction.com. Broncos visiting the Jaguars. Which running back or both are you starting in this game for the Broncos?
I Melvin Gordon, I have at 17 on the week. Javonte,
17.
Yes, I think that he is going to have a big performance here. Javonte Williams, I have currently at 28 on the week. So I think that you can get away with Javonte Williams. I know that he had the majority of the carries last week. And there is a very good chance that by the time that we get to Sunday, Javonte Williams is going to be higher in my rankings than this. I could even see sliding him above guys like Kareem Hunt that we just talked about. I could see that because this is a matchup that you want to target. I mean, the Houston Texans running backs all scored touchdowns last week. So I think Javonte Williams can easily find the end zone in this one. But Melvin Gordon, in my opinion, he looked like the better back last week. So I'm buying into that with Gordon. I've got him at 17 on the week.
I've got him back to back at 24-25. I think this is just going to be an even split. I would start either one of them as an RB2 without hesitation. How about Courtland Sutton? Obviously a quiet first game here against last week against the Giants, but Judy is gone. Are you starting Courtland Sutton?
I think that you can. I'm concerned just because we really didn't see Courtland Sutton's target totals increase as the game went on and Judy was out of the lineup. So I've got Sutton at 32 right now. He's a mid-range wide receiver 3 that you can start if you need to. He does have enormous potential in this one, right? I mean, the matchup is fantastic. So I think that you can get away with starting Courtland Sutton, but I'm not going crazy. I'm not ranking him as a top 24 wide receiver this week.
Yeah, I've got him 30th. I'm with you. I some hesitation. How about Tim Patrick, a guy who I recommended off waivers? I'm not starting him right here, Yates. I want to see him get acclimated first.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat. I've got him at 52 right now, and I think that there is a path where he could rise as the rest of the week goes on, but I think he's just a flex play at this point.
Yeah, I've got him at 47, so I'm not starting him. I still like him long term, no hesitation whatsoever, but I just want to see a little bit. Noah Fant, Yates, starting him up as a top 12?
Yeah, I did not see 6 targets come in Noah Fant's way last week, but he caught all 6 of them, I think, for 62 yards off the top of my head. So, I mean, yeah, he definitely belongs in your starting lineup. Again, kind of in that same territory as Dallas Goedert, like he was last week. He's a low-end tight end one. He's probably not going to find the end zone, so you're living and dying by him just being a safe option, and especially that gets a bump in full PPR formats.
Absolutely. And feel free to start Brandon McManus. Okay, that's my kicker recommendation. There you go. For the Jaguars, Yates, rank the wide receivers for me.
Oh, man. They are all like right
there. Good. Right. That's there. Why I asked it, because I was like, this is what I have. Yates, break the tie for me.
I've got LaVisca Chenault at 33. I've got Marvin Jones at 35. And I have DJ Chark at 37.
Okay. This is very funny because I have, number one, all of them slightly lower and kind of like an opposite order. I have Chark ahead, Jones, and then I have LaVisca Chenault, but there is 6 spots in between all 3 of them. So all of them kind of at the, you know, wide receiver 3-ish flex play, right? And you can start all of them.
Right, exactly.
Are you starting either running back for the Jaguars?
No.
Okay, where do you have James Robinson ranked, though, please? Because ECR, I'm fading compared to ECR, and I saw ECR, and I said, I don't understand what's happening.
What's his ECR?
27.
Okay, I have him at 32.
Okay, that's good enough. I'm at 33. We don't have to talk about it. Avoid it. But ahead of Carlos Hyde, right? Despite last week.
Yes.
Okay, very good. Saints visiting the Panthers. For the Saints, you're starting Alvin Kamara. Are you starting anybody else in the Saints?
Not really. You know, Adam Trautman led the team in targets last week, right, which was crazy. We thought that was for sure going to be Marquez Callaway. I think that I'm not going completely off of Callaway this week, where I think that you can still look at him as a flex option. But the fact that he didn't see the target totals that we thought he was going to in week one is concerning. So I think that I'm not completely moving off of my preseason evaluation, the role that he'll play in this offense. I'm not moving off of that just yet. I'm not completely burying him, but you have to downgrade him based on what we saw last week. So he's a flex play for me at best, but he does fall outside the top 40 wide receivers.
I agree. I don't want to drop him. I know a lot of people were just completely off. Don't overreact to you know, one game, but I'm not starting him in this game for sure. I agree with you there. For the Panthers, you're obviously starting Christian McCaffrey. Of course, the receivers, starting both DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson without hesitation.
Let me just say Jameis Winston.
I'm sorry.
You're good. Yeah. Quarterback 17 for me. So he's in that streaming conversation. You can look his way if you need to.
I will say he's 16 for me as well. So I agree completely. Like he is somebody who's there. I mean, it's for me, Yates, honestly, it's very, very difficult for, there were a clear top 12 for me this year. So right, I feel like most people are sort of there, but you could have had backups. I will say this. We'll get to that game in a second. Joe Burrow, Yates, I don't know about you. Jameis Winston, and for me, Ben Roethlisberger right now are guys who I would start over Joe Burrow this week. So if you have Burrow, if you can add Winston, I would personally do that and start Winston, but that's just where I'm at. Very good point, Yates. Sorry.
Yep. DJ Moore, wide receiver 18. Robbie Anderson, wide receiver 39. So he falls into the start category just based on that threshold that we have. with the top 40 wide receivers. I am concerned about the target totals. You brought up an excellent point on the Waiver Wire podcast, which I hate admitting that you brought up an excellent point.
Once in a while.
That was Terrace Marshall. You know, he had six targets last week. Yep. Like, he was involved. And Robbie Anderson, three off the top of my head. So, Robbie Anderson had the big play. I'm not going crazy here with saying that this New Orleans Saints off or defense is like a top tier unit just yet. I just think that the Packers offense sucked last week. So I think that I'm not going to say like this is an extremely difficult matchup. You want to fade the wide receivers here. I think you can still look DJ Moore's way. I think that you can start Robbie Anderson, just not confidently. And then Terrace Marshall, I've still got as someone that you have on your bench. You're not looking to start him just yet.
Completely agree. That's exactly where I'm. I want to roster Terrace Marshall. I'm not starting him here. And Robbie Anderson falls in as a borderline wide receiver three, somebody who, if you roster him, you're starting him. But I, you know, I want to see something in this game to make me feel a little more comfortable. Rams visiting.
Dan. Robbie Anderson or Marquez Callaway this week?
I'm starting Robbie Anderson here. I mean, Marquez Callaway for me is 48th. Like, this is something where I can't do it. Like, I can't buy into a guy for this week. For a guy who basically was a preseason star, who I hadn't given 3 seconds of thought to this entire offseason, before the preseason, and then does nothing in week one. I just can't. How about you? Are you starting Callaway over Robbie Anderson?
I've got him back-to-back in my rankings.
Oh, really?
Okay. So I've got Robbie Anderson at 39, Callaway at 40 right now.
I see. All right. So I have Anderson at 37, Callaway at 48. So it's a big difference for me. But
I have Callaway at 42. I'm sorry, 42.
Okay. So yeah, you're closer, but no, I'm not considering right now. I'll take the guy who at least, you know, caught the touchdown pass last week and was productive. Rams visiting the Colts. Matthew Stafford, obviously. Cooper Kupp, obviously. Ooh, I'm very excited now about Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
Robert Woods, Tyler Higbee, Daryl Henderson. I mean, are these guys all just starts for you?
They're all starts, but you're adjusting your expectations. It looks like Matthew Stafford has found his new BFF, and that is Cooper Kupp. So with the entire offseason, I was talking about Robert Woods. I was like, this is an insane opportunity. We know this offense is going to be great. I was actually in on Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. I just had Woods slightly higher. But Cooper Kupp, I mean, man, that game last week was just fantastic for him. So you're starting Cooper Kupp this week. I think that you can still start Robert Woods as a low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three. The target volume just wasn't there this past week. So I'm downgrading him just slightly in my rankings moving forward. Daryl Henderson, low-end RB2. Tyler Higbee, mid-range tight end one.
Yep. Absolutely agree. I have Woods at 23 this week. I was with you. We talked about it. I liked Woods, and Kupp is at 15. So there's a delta now between them. So I agree with you. And I agree. You're starting Daryl Henderson. Certainly showed enough here to be worthy. Any interest in Van Jefferson or anything like that?
No. Not in your typical redraft leagues.
All right. Even with the tough matchup, you're starting Jonathan Taylor, but I wonder where he slots in for you at running back.
I'm actually very optimistic on Jonathan Taylor because, yes, you're right. It is a tougher matchup. But also, we just saw David Montgomery and the Bears offensive line gash them for over 100 yards. So I think you've got the offensive line upgrade now with Indianapolis over Chicago, of course. And then Jonathan Taylor, the target volume was just insane last week. So I think even if he can't get it done on the ground, which I think that he can, then you've got the target volume to be able to fall back on. So Jonathan Taylor, for me, is at RB5 on the week.
Oh, my goodness. RB5. Okay. Well, that's fine. Look, Montgomery did look great. And you're right. I mean, I believe that Nyheim Hines led the Colts in targets with 8 and Jonathan Taylor was second with 7. Yeah. And again, the wide receivers, you know, in this matchup, certainly you don't expect them to do anything. They certainly didn't do anything last week. So you make a fair point. I mean, I'm at 15 right now just because,
a big difference.
It's a huge difference. I'm starting him in this game. Again, what I'm trying to do, Yates, is not overreact to what I saw necessarily in week one, right? Sure. I don't want to overreact. And Montgomery looked great and was a guy who I kind of like held my nose and started just because I didn't want to see it, but he looked fantastic. I was really excited about that, but I'm not. And Taylor also, again, as you mentioned, like the involvement in the passing game when, you know, in a negative game script, fantastic. I just don't want to completely change my evaluation of both what the Rams can do, you know, in their run defense and what the Colts offense is going to look like in the first game with Carson Wentz, where he had absolutely like no practice time with the wide receivers. So
I think part of it too, sorry to cut you off. I think is like the way that the Rams play defense is that they're going to eliminate over the top big plays. And that's why Andy Dalton was just consistently like the offense was moving last week. Andy Dalton was just consistently hitting his guys underneath as soon as they came open. He wasn't looking for the big plays because that's what the Rams defense does. They take away those big plays. So when you're not going to have that with the Colts offense, like they don't even have anyone to be able to stretch the field really because T.Y. Hilton is out. So they're going to consistently, Carson Wentz is just going to consistently be checking down like all game. So I think that we're going to see Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines with a hefty target share again this week.
I think that's fair. I think the fact that they can't stretch the field is going to mean that the defense is going to know that and they're going to be all that's over fair. It a little bit. But again, but again, you're starting all these guys. But Yates, if you have him at five, you're starting him. If you have to choose, you're starting him over Aaron Jones against Detroit?
Yes.
Derrick Henry against Seattle?
Yes.
Joe Mixon against Chicago?
They're back-to-back. I've got Mixon at six.
Okay, very good. Anybody else in the Colts who want to start here?
No, not this week.
That is the correct answer. Bills visiting the Dolphins. You are obviously starting Josh Allen. You are starting Stephon Diggs. If Zach Moss is inactive, are you starting Devin Singletary? If Zach Moss is active, are you starting either running back?
No, I mean, I'm projecting that Zach Moss is going to be inactive, and I've got Devin Singletary at RB 33 on the week. So, you know, it's like that's the ceiling for Devin Singletary. He can be incredibly efficient with his, 12 carries per game. He's not going to see more than 15 based on his size and skill set. And also based on the offensive philosophy. And then he's barely involved in the receiving game. He's not going to get work in the at the goal line or anything like that. We know that's going to be Josh Allen. So what's the upside to playing Devin Singletary? He falls outside my top 30 running backs.
Yeah, I've got him at 30, but that's pretty much basically the same thing. Are you starting any other wide receiver here or anybody else on the Bills?
They're all kind of in the like low-end flex conversation. So I think that you can get away with Cole Beasley in a full PPR format. I think Gabriel Davis, you're starting in like as a flex in a standard league. But he returned to practice, I think, as a full participant yesterday. So like as a flex option, because he does have the ability to score a touchdown, Emmanuel Sanders as a like full PPR option as a flex, just as a safe option. But it depends on what you need. But all those guys kind of in the same territory for me as flex plays at best.
Yeah, none of them are within my top 50. So I wide receiver. So I'm avoiding them entirely. For the Dolphins, you're starting Miles Gaskin, I assume, as a low end RB2 in this one.
Yep, I have him at RB20 on the week.
How about the receivers? I don't know what the deal is with Will Fuller here, Yates. I know he missed practice yesterday in a not injury related. I don't. Was that rest? Are they easing him in?
I don't know. It said undisclosed, so I really don't know what the issue is there.
All right, so let's assume for the time being that Will Fuller is going to play. What wide receiver for the Dolphins are you starting?
I'm going with Jaylen Waddle. I think Jaylen Waddle showed me enough last week. He had a near perfect passer rating when targeted last week. So like he showed out, and I've got him at 38. So again, he's like you can start him. He does present some upside here, but it's a tough matchup up against Buffalo's secondary. Devontae Parker, I've got a little bit further down. I have Devontae Parker at somewhere. I can't find him right now, so I will look that up in a second.
I'm at 51. I'll help you.
Okay, so that might be why I need to keep scrolling. And then Will Fuller, I mean, we're going to have a lot of questions, I know, on the Sunday live stream. If he does, you know, return to practice today or whatever, like, we're going to have a lot of questions of, okay, can I start, you know, Will Fuller? And it's like, no, not this week. I want to see what this offense looks like. I think he's going to be more of a benefit to the overall state of the offense than he is going to be someone that you can comfortably rely on. But Devontae Parker, I do have at 51. It is encouraging, like, Tua Tagovailoa last year got billed as this like dink and dunk quarterback, super low ADOT. I think it was just kind of, he was just taking advantage of what really he could get. He finished with a higher ADOT than Patrick Mahomes this past week. So like he was pushing the ball deep downfield. He had the fifth highest average depth of target in week 1 for quarterbacks with a minimum of 20 pass attempts. Like, so Devontae Parker, Will Fuller, they can be great. I'm just not looking to start them here this week.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think this is wait and see. I am interested to see the impact that Fuller will have on this offense, assuming that if it really does, because that's what he would do in Houston. If for nothing else, he would open up lanes here for the other wide receivers because he would have to go deep. So that would be good. But I agree. I don't know what this is with Fuller. Right now, all of them fall out of wide receiver 3 range, but I could see starting Fuller. I could certainly start Waddle as a borderline wide receiver 3. Parker's a little bit further down, unless Will Fuller misses this game, in which case I would move him up to, you know, basically flex territory. Mike Gesicki off now after last week?
No, don't go anywhere near him. I mean, his snap count was just ridiculous compared to what Durham Smythe saw. So Mike Gesicki, I'm not looking. I think you can drop him.
I agree with that. Actually, you can move on. Patriots visiting the Jets. I don't want to use the word comfortable. Are you starting Damien Harris?
Yes, I think that you can start Damien Harris in that same territory as Miles Gaskin, Miles Sanders, like those kind of guys. I've got Damien Harris at 18 on the week.
17 for me as well. I'm not really worried about the fumble and all the talk, whatever. Ramondre Stevenson also fumbled. He's going to be the guy. They know he's going to be the guy. It should be a positive game script. Jonnu Smith popped up on the injury report. I don't know if he's in danger of missing this game. If he plays, are you starting him? If not, are you starting Hunter Henry?
Yes, I am starting Jonnu Smith if he does indeed practice here today. It was limited in on Thursday's practice, so yeah. I don't think that he, you know, is in danger just yet of missing this game, but we'll monitor that on Sunday morning with our live streams and stuff like that. So Jonnu Smith right now I have at 8. Hunter Henry, assuming Jonnu plays, I have at 16. If Jonnu misses this game, then Hunter Henry belongs in your starting lineup as a low-end tight end one.
Yeah, I also have Hunter Henry at 16, but as usual, I'm a little lower on Jonnu, still a borderline startable option for me at 13. How about the wide receivers here? Are you starting Jacoby Myers? Nelson Aguilar had a good game.
These guys both fall outside of my top 40. Or I'm sorry, Jacoby Myers is at 40. So I think you can look his way. This is a fantastic matchup. So I think you can look at Jacoby Myers here. Nelson Aguilar is a boomer bust flex play for me. I think that he's someone that you can look at, but only in deeper leagues. I'm not necessarily ready to just crown him as, you know, this like this revelation, this guy that is going to come out of nowhere and exceed expectations here this year. So Nelson Aguilar, I've got at 44 on the week. I think you can look his way, but I wouldn't be crazy, crazy excited about it.
James White, a flex option in PPR leagues?
In PPR leagues, yeah, I think you can look his way.
Very good. For the Jets, you're still starting. I mean, it's not a great matchup or anything, but you're starting Corey Davis, obviously. Pretty much just every week, lock him in your lineup. Is that fair with Corey Davis?
Yep. He'll move up and down the rankings based on the matchup, just like a ton of other wide receivers. So I've got Corey Davis at 31 on the week.
Very good. I am checking where I have him as well, but it's close. But nobody else on the Jets, is that right?
No, I think we're going to see Jamison Crowder active for this one. At least that's where it's trending here in this week. So I think we're going to see him step into the starting slot role. We'll have Keelan Cole, assuming he plays as well, on the outside. That leaves Elijah Moore to battle for wide receiver 4 targets. Didn't see enough from Elijah Moore last week to hold on to him in redraft league. So I'm dropping Elijah Moore if I have him.
I really hope we see something from Moore, but I agree. I mean, I told everybody they could drop him because I think you've got to make hard decisions. That's a decision that you got to make. And you're way off on Corey Davis's ranking. I have him at 32. Bengals visiting the Bears. We talked about Joe Mixon. Obviously, you're starting him as a strong option, maybe right behind, one spot behind Jonathan Taylor, but that's fine. How about the wide receivers here? How do you feel about them for Cincinnati?
I mean, this is the matchup. I mean, Chicago Bears secondary looked absolutely atrocious last week against the Los Angeles Rams. So I've got Jamar Chase at 21. I have T. Higgins at 24. And then Tyler Boyd, I have further down. I've got him at 43. So I talked about him just like with Juju Smith-Schuster. It's like until we see the pass attempts tick up for Cincinnati, because I think Burrow only threw the ball 29 times off the top of my head last week. So like until we see those target totals hit above 40, like what are the pass attempts hit above 40, like what they were regularly last year before Burrow's injury, then Tyler Boyd's not going to see enough volume to be a viable fantasy, you know, wide receiver 3. So I've got Tyler Boyd at 43 on the week. He is a flex play that you can plug in if you need a safe option, but I'm not holding my breath for anything crazy here.
I'm a little lower on the wide receivers. They're still startable options for me. Not Boyd. I mean, Chase and Higgins, mainly because Yates, I know the secondary is bad, but Burrow got hit. He got sacked 5 times.
Oh, every time he got hit, I was like,
actually impressed me. Like, I mean, it made me feel more comforted because that's really what I was worried about. He would get hit. I'd be like, at one point he was down for a little while, but he came through. But he was talking about how sore his knee was and everything like that. You've got the home opener here for the Bears, right? Like, I'm a little nervous about what that crowd and everything's going to do. So I just generally, and maybe that's more narrative based, you can disregard if you want. I'm thinking of a little bit worse of a game here for Cincinnati than I think otherwise would be in a normal matchup, which again, where do you have Burrow out of curiosity? Because again, I said I have him 17th. That's fading consensus.
Right. I've got him at, I've got him at 14. But
yeah, it's
okay. Joe Burrow, Ben Roethlisberger, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston. Those are all the 4 quarterbacks in a row there where, again, they're in the same tier. If you want to put Jameis Winston at 14, you want to put Ben Roethlisberger at 14 and put Burrow at 17, I'm not going to fight you on that. So they're all kind of in this same range. You can start Burrow if you need to, but I'm not expecting crazy things.
Very good. I'm glad you're not going to fight me because I would get my butt kicked. Bears starting. Dave Montgomery, obviously. I mean, again, we talked about it. Looked fantastic. Out of curiosity, where does he actually slot in your running back rankings?
Currently, he is at RB15.
Very good. He is 14 for me. Allen Robinson, huge bounce back game coming.
I hope so. This is the Andy Dalton revenge game. So I think that we could see the Bears start to push the ball a little bit further downfield, please, from what we saw last week. So I've got Allen Robinson at 17 on the week, though. I'm not, you know, based on what we saw last week from this offense, I'm not holding my breath that he's going to finish as a top 12 option, but you can still start him.
Yeah, I've got him at 14 right now. I think this is a bounce back game. How about, you know, Darnell Mooney or Cole Kmet? Anybody else you want to start here?
The Mooney is a low end flex option for me. I'm not really looking his way. He is at 54 in my wide receiver rankings. I think that his
How is that a low end flex option for you, by the way? How is 54 at wide receiver
like
a low end flex
option? Anyone from 48, like, because certain leagues, right? Like Devontae Parker, you're probably still going to have to start him as a flex option in some leagues. Like, you can look at Tim Patrick in deeper formats. So I'm saying
I get it, but don't you isn't it like 37 to like 48? That's where I view a flex.
I mean, you
like
can, but I guess like all outside of the top 50, I just say like low end. I say like flex for 40 to or
no,
37.
You say
to,
sit. You say sit from
okay,
now on.
Fine.
All right.
Darnell Mooney is a 50, sit, Dan.
There it
goodness.
Is. That's what I'm talking about.
Cole Kmet.
I'm starting Darnell Mooney, by the way. So I'm just kidding. Very good.
I was about to say, Cole Kmet at 15 for me. I was encouraged from what I saw last week. You know, he was top 10 in receiving routes run at the tight end position. He logged a total of 51 snaps in offense to Jimmy Graham's 14. So Cole Kmet appears to have taken the tight end one role here in this offense. He's got the target totals. I think you can start him as a, you know, he just falls inside that start.
Falcons visiting the Bucks. Are you starting Mike Davis in this matchup?
No, I'm looking to sit Mike Davis here. I'm looking to sit Matt Ryan against Tampa Bay. It's going to be brutal. Calvin Ridley, I think you can still start, but I'm not expecting great numbers here. I've got him at wide receiver 13, but I don't think that he has much upside. It's just ranking him there because he's freaking Calvin Ridley and the ball's got to go somewhere. Kyle Pitts, I've got at, you know, he's still a start based on where you drafted him, but I've got him at tight end 9.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not talking, you're not benching Calvin Ridley. Like there's
right, you can't,
no
right.
no universe out there where you are, or Kyle Pitts, frankly, where you are. Mike Davis for me is 32nd at running back. Yeah, it's like that. I have shares of Mike Davis. I probably have to start him in a couple of leagues just because that's the way the cookie crumbles. But I'm desperate to avoid it if I can. I completely agree with you. For the Bucks, just rank the wide receivers for me.
Antonio Brown at Antonio Brown. I've got to go all the way.
21 is the correct answer. Oh, that's mine.
No,
anyway,
you're way
so
too low. 15 for Chris Godwin. 16 for Antonio Brown. Mike Evans at 30.
Okay, wow, so you are fading Evans then. I was
fading Evans all offseason, so
You are. All right, I'm not as down on him because I'm writing it off to Diggs a little bit in that game. You're starting Brady, of course. How about the running backs? All of them are starters. Yates, yay!
This is the worst. no, you do not start any of these guys. There's the potential that Ronald Jones finishes as a top 15 running back this week.
Absolutely.
There is also the potential that he finishes outside the top 80 running backs. Like,
absolutely.
I don't want to go anywhere near these running backs.
I agree. I mean, look, it's silly to try to predict what's going to happen because, you know, one missed blitz pickup.
And the
one
thing
fumble.
Is, like, with Ronald Jones, that fumble, like, it was a good play by DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, he punched the ball out. I really don't know what more you want Ronald Jones to do in that situation. Like, it was a great play by Lawrence. So, it's ridiculous. Leonard
what's
Fournette
funny,
at 36 for me, Ronald Jones at 39, Giovanni Bernard way down there.
No, it doesn't count, right? Yeah, Ronald Jones is 40 for me. What's funny is that the next play was a pass that Leonard Fournette should have caught and instead led to an interception, but that's okay. I guess it's just fumbles. It's not horrible pass plays where you cause Brady to throw an interception. I don't know. I can't get into the mind of Bruce Arians. I won't try, but I will go to the Vikings visiting the Cardinals. You're starting Dalvin Cook. You're starting Justin Jefferson, and I assume like all systems go on Adam Thielen. Right?
Of course. Yeah, based on what we saw last week, you got to start him.
He looked great. Very excited there. You're starting Kirk Cousins in what's probably going to be a shootout or Tyler Conklin or anything like that?
Tyler Conklin is 21 for me in my tight end ranking. Mm-hmm. So like you can look at him, but that's deeper formats, tight end premium leagues. Kirk Cousins, streaming option. Like you can look his way if you need to.
I am debating whether or not Kyler Murray is my QB1 or my QB2 on the week. I can't really decide between him and Patrick Mahomes.
The
Mahomes, so
correct
go
answer is QB1.
There it is. DeAndre Hopkins, obviously an incredible first game. We'll just continue to do this all day long. Are you starting the running backs? Chase Edmonds in particular, I assume, is higher than James Conner.
Yes, that is correct. Chase Edmonds, that is the correct answer.
Yes.
Chase Edmonds at 25 for me. So you can you can start him again. The game script here, you're projecting that it's going to be a shootout here, a game that could turn into a pretty fun matchup to watch. So Chase Edmonds, 25 for me. I think he'll see enough volume there. James Conner is at 37 for me. So he falls outside start-worthy territory. I'm assuming you're going to ask about the wide receivers next.
I'm not, actually. I'm just going to move on to the next game. Is that okay? Yes, go ahead. Wide receivers. Are you starting Christian Kirk?
He is at wide receiver 46 for me. So he falls outside the top 40. So he is a sit.
Thank you.
And then Rondale Moore, I have at 50. So he is a sit. And AJ Green, like, who cares? Like,
no. AJ Green, honestly, I love the guy. I hope he bounces back and shows something. But for right now, there's no fantasy league we're considering starting AJ Green. I am with you. I have both of them at sits. Christian Kirk for me is a 52. Rondell Moore right now is at 60. My guess is he ends up a little bit higher once I'm sort of done. I love Rondell Moore. I want him on my fantasy team. I was encouraged, actually, despite the lack of snaps last week. But still, I'm not starting him yet. It's a long game for them. Titans at the Seahawks. Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. I think it's just going to be a good game for the Titans. I think a bounce back game is coming. You're starting AJ Brown, of course. How about Julio Jones? Where'd you say you wound up with him?
Julio is at 23 in my wide receiver rankings. Mm-hmm. I think that what we're seeing here is just a lack of chemistry with Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill. Absolutely. You know, they really did not get much of an opportunity to play together in the, you know, throughout training camp, preseason. So this was really the first kind of experience that they had playing together. And I think it was evidenced by a play that they had where Julio Jones is running like an over route to like the corner of the end zone out of the slot. And Ryan Tannehill, rather than lead him, he's matched up against Byron Murphy, rather than lead him towards the corner of the end zone, he's got the inside step. He throws it as a bullet and to like the back shoulder of Julio Jones and, you know, kind of a little bit behind him. Like that stuff just kind of gets ironed out the more that they're playing together. So I think Julio Jones could have had a much bigger game last week than he did. I am, you know, it's a level of confidence here. So I've got him lower than I certainly did last week. I think I had Julio Jones as a top 12 option.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, Julio Jones here at 23, AJ Brown still belongs in your starting lineup no matter what.
Absolutely. And no concerns about Derrick Henry, of course. And are you starting Ryan Tannehill in this one or are you streaming?
He is a low end QB1 for me. So you can still look Ryan Tannehill's way if you need to. I've got him at 12. I've got Kirk Cousins at 13, Joe Burrow at 14, Ben Roethlisberger at 15. So all in that same range.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Tannehill also at 12, but you're right. Baker, Cousins, Roethlisberger, Winston, that's the range. If you want to go somewhere else, I won't fight you, but I am personally still starting Tannehill as a top 12 option for the Seahawks. I mean, I think it's pretty easy. You start Russell Wilson. Good matchup for Chris Carson. You're starting him. You're starting both wide receivers. Of course, DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I mean, anything else you want to talk about here with the Seahawks?
This is crazy. I've got Russell Wilson at 6 on the week right now, and I'm like, he could easily be ranked as the quarterback 1 this week. Like because you got Brady going up against Atlanta, Lamar Jackson in a shootout game against Kansas City, Josh Allen, it's Josh Allen, you know, Patrick Mahomes. Like, I can't get him higher up in my rankings. But if I have Russell Wilson this week, I'm extremely excited. I think he's going to destroy this Tennessee Titans secondary that just let Kyler Murray go for 4 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown as well. So Wilson for sure, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett for sure in your starting lineups. The tight ends, I want to talk about Gerald Everett quick, because Everett and Will Disley had essentially a near even snap split last week.
Yep.
So Everett got the touchdown, but he was actually out targeted by Will Disley. Will Disley had 3. Gerald Everett with 2. So I think this is still a very volatile situation. If you are starting Gerald Everett, you are completely banking on him finding the end zone, which is quite possible in this matchup, but it's just not a world that I want to live in. So I've got Gerald Everett at 18 on the week. I think that, you know, yeah, he's a touchdown or bust option.
The QBs, by the way, to your point, I have Russell Wilson at 5. Ranking the top 9 QBs, and when people are going to ask me starts a question, is just going to piss me off, because any one of them could be the QB1 this week, going all the way down to Rodgers, who's angry against Detroit, but you've got Brady against Atlanta, Herbert and Prescott in a shootout against each other, Russell Wilson, Lamar. It's just those top 9, man. Good Lord. They're just going to go nutty. Let's go to the Cowboys at the Chargers. You're, of course, starting Dak. You are starting Zeke. Where does he actually rank in your running back rankings this week after last week's dud?
Sure. So Ezekiel Elliott, I think it's going to be a much better matchup here. So I've got Ezekiel Elliott at 7 on the week.
Okay. Yeah. I've got him at 11 right now. My guess is I'll probably move him to 10 by the all is said and done, but an RB1 for sure. And Amari Cooper looked fantastic. CeeDee Lamb looked fantastic. I assume you're starting both without hesitation, correct?
Yep, completely. I've got CeeDee Lamb at 12, Amari Cooper at 5.
Beautiful. I love it. I have Cooper at 9, so I guess I'm fading him. What about you're not starting Wilson at all in this matchup with Gallup out, right?
No, sorry. I was like Wilson. Oh, Cedric
I'm sorry.
Got it. Yes. No, looking his way.
Russell Wilson playing for the Cowboys.
Right.
Sorry.
No, I thought you were about to move on to the tight end, so I was like, who's the tight end named Wilson on the Cowboys? It took me a second. I got it.
I apologize. It's just terrible hosting. How about the tight ends here, though? I mean, again, they basically, you know, took away work from each other last week.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing as Seattle to a much lesser, you know, or to a greater extent, excuse me, because, you know, the target volume last week was just insane for Dallas. I don't expect that to be the same. It's going to be quite a bit. It's going to be north of 40 pass attempts in this game, but it's not going to be 58 like it was last week. So I think Dalton Schultz, Blake Jarwin, unless one of these guys completely steps forward as the true starting tight end in this offense, if we see the other one fade away, you're not going to feel comfortable starting these guys. So I've got them both as mid-range tight end twos to low-end tight end twos.
All right, for the Chargers, we're starting Justin Herbert. Austin Eckler got no targets last week. Will he get targets this week, Gates, and where do you have him?
I don't know. As far as the targets, like Austin Eckler should get targets. I don't know what the frick is going on there, but Eckler at 13 for me. You know, if he's going to see as much work, Austin Eckler leads the NFL in red zone rushing attempts, which is just ridiculous. Just like we all expected. Eckler at 13 up against Dallas. Yeah, you start him.
Yeah, I agree. Keenan Allen, of course. Are you buying Mike Williams after last week?
I think you got to, especially because of this matchup. If it was a tougher matchup, I might be a little bit more hesitant, but I've got Mike Williams at 29 on the week.
Yeah, you are too low, my friend. I am at 24. Wow. If he is healthy, I am now buying in. How about Jared Cook, a guy who I basically have desperately wanted to write off and just can't? I mean, maybe some of those targets, though, Yates, go to Austin Eckler this week, right? Who knows if he's going to get the 8 targets. But for me, Cook slides in at number 12. What about you?
He's exactly the same spot. I've got him at 12. I mean, for the past 3 years, I've been trying to fade Jared Cook and just be like, the touchdown rate, everything like that. And then he comes out and has a pretty good game and actually finished third on the Chargers in targets in week one. Yep. So I don't know what's going on here, but Jared Cook at 12 for the time being. It's a fantastic matchup. You play him.
Yep. Got to do it. Chiefs visiting the Ravens. Again, for the Chiefs, the Chiefs take 3 seconds to go through, I think, because you are obviously starting with a bullet. Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. I guess let's briefly talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Kind of disappointing first game. Where does he slot in your running back rankings?
Yeah, it's relatively concerning because, you know, the fantasy point total wasn't great. And I don't think that he's ever going to see the type of opportunity, like the critical opportunities that we need for him to push into the top five. But he saw 17 total touches this week, you know, 14 or this past week, 14 attempts on the ground, 3 targets. So I think the opportunity is there. Like the workload is encouraging because there were games last year where it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire saw 7 carries and 2 targets, you know, like it just wasn't what we saw, what we needed to see. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire for me is at 16. He's at just the definition of a safe RB2 moving forward, a guy that you know is going to see some work, probably won't see red zone opportunities, probably won't see a ton of targets, but will just be a safe option for you. I don't think he presents much upside.
Yeah, I'm at 16 as well, kind of, you know, low ceiling, high floor type of play, but that is fine, especially at this day and age. Nobody else in the Chiefs, right? You're not looking at Mecole Hardman or anything like that. Great. For the Ravens, you're obviously starting Lamar Jackson. As we said, you're always starting Mark Andrews. How about the running backs here? I mean, all of them are going to play, apparently. So what are you doing?
Right. So I think it's still going to go Tyson Williams this way. I think he's going to be the main guy here. He was highly efficient. He finished second in the NFL in breakaway yards last week. Mm-hmm. And that was despite only seeing 9 rush attempts. So Tyson Williams looked great. I think that you can look his way, but he falls outside the top 24. So he is still a start for me based on our criteria, but he's at 27. So I think that, you know, Kareem Hunt, Chase Edmonds, Tyson Williams, Elijah Mitchell, those guys are going to be a difficult decision for me. I think I might be flipping Elijah Mitchell and Tyson Williams all the way in my rankings all the way up to Sunday. So I really don't know at this point, but Tyson Williams at 27 for the time being.
Yeah, I've got him at 23 right now. I'm a little higher again. I think consensus when I checked last night was 26. So you're right there. I'm a little more bullish just because, again, I think you saw what he did last week. That was explosive and very encouraging. He did obviously have a little bit of struggle in pass protection towards the end of that game. Who knows how that factors in? And you're going to have, you know, Devonta Freeman active in this game. How about Latavius Murray, though? Also scored a touchdown last week. Didn't look great, but he barely knew the playbook. Are you considering starting him?
No. I've got him at 48 on the week.
I agree. I think I have him a little higher than that, 43, but still at running back, that is not. What about the wide receivers here? Obviously, Marquise Brown has missed practice so far this week. We don't know what it happens on Friday. Very good game. Sammy Watkins had a very good game in the first one. Are you starting either one of these guys?
No, they're still outside my... there's the potential that they each score a touchdown in this one, but just the passing game, I don't want to buy into it just yet. So I've got both these guys outside my top 40.
All right, final game, Lions visiting the Packers.
And you start Mark Andrews.
I said Mark Andrews when we first started. I said you're obviously starting him. Oh, I'm sorry, I just said you're obviously starting Lamar Jackson. You're obviously starting Mark Andrews. If I didn't, I'm going to go back and insert that in just to make sure I did. But yes, I agree. Mark Andrews is my 4th ranked tight end on the week. Sorry about that. Lions visiting the Packers. For the Lions, I feel like we obviously start TJ Hawkinson each and every week. We start DeAndre Swift, and we probably start Jamal Williams as a flex, and we bench everybody else. Is that it?
I have Jamal Williams at 23 on the week right now.
Whoa. All right.
Again, it's just when you look at the wide receivers, the target share here, it's kind of like Indianapolis. It's like, okay, well, I feel comfortable that he's going to see a ton of work. And if that's the case, then I mean, I have concerns about Chase Edmonds. I don't know what type of workload he's going to see. Kareem Hunt, I don't know what type of, I don't know if he's going to find the end zone or not. Tyson Williams, I don't know what type of workload he's going to see. Elijah Mitchell, same thing. Mike Davis, tough matchup. You know, so it's like the rest of the guys that are in my running back rankings, Jamal Williams just ends up at RB23 just based on target volume and target share. So, yeah, I think you start him.
It's not terrible. I mean, look, I have him at 28, so he's like a high-end sort of flex option for me. I agree. You're going, and especially it's against Green Bay.
Revenge game.
You can attack. You can down revenge game, exactly. You can also attack them on the ground. How about Swift? He's 13th for me. Am I too high?
14 for me.
Wonderful. I am too high, obviously, by one spot. All right. How about the Packers? I fear for Detroit as to what Aaron Rodgers is going to do in this game. But you are going with Aaron Rodgers. You are going with Aaron Jones. You're going with Devontae Adams. Robert Tonyan. You going with him?
He falls outside of the top 12. So he's just there, though. He's at 14 for me. So I think you can look at Noah Fant, Jared Cook, Dallas Goedert. I think you can look at those guys over Robert Tonyan. I think there is an excellent chance that Tonyan finds the end zone in this one. I think there's a possibility that he finishes as a top five tight end. But there's just no guarantee, right? The level of confidence that I have in this Green Bay Packers offense right now is very little. So I want the most talented and the like surefire options here, which is, like you mentioned, it's Rodgers, it's Jones, it's Devontae Adams. Outside of that, I'm downgrading everyone else.
Very good. I'm the same way. So again, MVS, because I know there's a lot of buzz about him in practice and people get excited. Nobody like that, right? You're not starting.
No, not this week.
Very good. That's it for today's show. Yates, I love doing the show with you, but I do look forward to when we have bye week, so I don't feel like I have to fly at the speed of light. But you do a great job, as always. Let's continue. Had a good week, I feel like, Yates, for us in the accuracy competition.
Well, yeah, a good week for you. Finishes a top five option.
That's true. That was my way of getting you to say that. That's true.
Right,
but yes, but you look,
walked right 40. Into it. Damn it.
No, but again, we've got basically 200 experts. You and Pat also in the mid 40s. Excellent start for all of us. Let's keep it going. Again, find all of our advice on Sunday mornings. You can hit me up on Discord, fantasybros.com/chat. But again, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Sunday morning on our Instagram, Fantasy Bros Instagram. I do an IG live for an hour. Yates does a live stream on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros from 12 to 1. Joe is going to be doing one also from 11 to 12. So again, subscribe there, youtube.com/fantasypros. Before we go, let me say thank you to Prize Picks. Again, daily fantasy simplified. Use our promo code GRIDIRON to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Again, promo code GRIDIRON, 100% deposit match up to $100. And thank you also to Pristine Auction. You know we love them. Every item imaginable. Everything is always guaranteed. Everything is always affordable. Just go to pristineauction.com. P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. I will talk to you again with Pat on Sunday night.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.